The following is the meditation on the second word. Today you will be with me in paradise.
Interesting that the very first word of the very first phrase is Father. Jesus' life had no other meaning or purpose apart from that of being in the center of the Father's will. He said so repeatedly, I've come to do the will of Him who sent me. I speak and act only as He directs. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so when they nail Him to a cross, the very first word to escape His lips is Father. There are those who say that when He cried, My God, why have you forsaken me? He lost his faith. We'll come back to that one in a moment. But you know, we said the wine press is what Gethsemane was about. You squeeze an orange and you'll get orange juice. You squeeze a lemon, you'll get lemon juice. Squeeze an apple, you'll get apple juice. Squeeze Jesus. And out of his mouth comes unbroken confidence in the Father. We might reflect on what would come out were they to squeeze us. His first word is Father, and his second is forgive. He reaches up to the Father, he reaches out to humankind. And in those two words, the very heart of Jesus is revealed. Father, forgive. How much time unfolded between that first utterance and the second one we come to this afternoon? There's no way of knowing. It may have been an hour. It may have been 2 hours. Death by crucifixion is an agonizingly slow process. The weight of your body extends your muscles and they begin to cramp. You want nothing so much as to just let them be relaxed for a moment. In the meantime, you're quickly dehydrated from exhaustion, sweat, loss of blood. In Jesus' case, he'd been up a night and a day before the crucifixion began, and he'd been beaten with a cat of nine tails, and now he hangs there. And the soldiers are casting lots for his robe. And the passers-by taunt him. He saved others. Can't save himself, I guess. If you are the Son of God, come on down from that cross. Sound familiar? If you are the Son of God, command some of these stones to be made bread. If you are the Son of God, cast yourself down from the parapet. If you are, prove it. Of course, the divine irony and the good news of the gospel is that in refusing to prove it, he proved it. There's a very important sentence included in Matthew's account, which is left out of the others. It says, And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Both of them, at first, one on each side. But then as the time wore on, one of them began to sense there was something incredibly different going on here than what it appeared to be on the surface. I commented that first utterance could have been repeated. Father, forgive. Father, forgive. Jesus kept on saying, Father, forgive. I don't know what those two criminals knew about Jesus prior to sharing the crucifixion with him. Is it possible that they were hearing of him for the very first time as the taunts were hurled at him by the onlookers? Can you imagine hanging there beside him and hearing, he's a phony. I thought he could heal the sick, but it must have been a hoax. Father, forgive them. Yeah, he claimed to be the Son of God come to save us. Look at him now. Father, forgive them. Said you could look at him and you'd see God. Look at him in his nakedness. Is that God? Father, forgive. You, King of the Jews, how do you like that crown on your head? Father, forgive. And slowly, the one thief begins to realize what everyone else is oblivious to. This really is the Son of God, acting exactly as we would expect him to act if he chose to save sinners rather than destroy them. Talk about a deathbed conversion. The thief falls silent in wonder as his companion rails on. And finally, he turns to him, reaches out as far as he can reach with his own body being confined. And he says, don't you understand? This man is obviously innocent. We deserve what's happening to us, but he's done nothing wrong. And turning to Jesus, he begs, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Not much of a prayer when you stop to think about it. He doesn't confess all the ugly, rotten, evil things he's done that have brought him to this place. He doesn't promise to make restitution. There's no time for that. He doesn't even say, I'm sorry, though he obviously is. He doesn't get his these and his thous right either. No world without end. Just says, remember me. To be remembered by Jesus is enough. And in that brief prayer, he places himself among those who receive the great gift of grace that this is all about. Today, you will be with me. When this day ends and we step out of human time and into eternity, you'll be with me. What Jesus repeatedly prays that the Father will do, forgive them, forgive them, forgive them, he himself immediately does when given a chance, even in the midst of his own death throes. He practices what he preaches, and he practices what he prays. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You want to know how the Father reacts to deathbed conversion? Today, forgiven. In this little vignette, we see all of humanity, those on the one side dying in sin, those on the other side receiving salvation because of the man in the middle. And the question for each one of us is, which side of the cross are we on?